First, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Yes, sir. Romans chapter 8. There we go. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11. And then after we read Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, we will eventually be in Matthew chapter 5. Verses 3 and 4. So in Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 11, Paul says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." On tonight, if you press me for a sermonic theme, I like to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So glad to see Brother Crowder here with us on this evening. Hey, amen. Sister Crowder as well. Amen. So glad to have them as well. So glad to have them. Romans chapter 8. And so the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Have you ever gone on vacation and maybe as you were at the mall or maybe at Costco or Walmart or Sam's, you see a salesman and they say, "We would like to invite you to this timeshare presentation." And they tell you, "Hey, if you come to this timeshare presentation, you get a free meal on us." And so you go to this timeshare presentation where it is as if they kidnap you for a couple of hours. And there at this timeshare presentation, they begin to try to sell you on the idea of why you should purchase a timeshare. That, hey, you get to go to Florida or Arizona. You will throw in free plane tickets, free meals, free this and that, free shoes, whatever it is, they try to persuade you on the benefits of buying the timeshare. And what is amazing is that they talk all day, not all day, but they talk for at least an hour or so. And even when you tell them no, they still try. Why? Because they are really trying to get you to see the benefits of a timeshare. And on tonight, I'm not here to sell anything, but I am here to talk to you about the benefits of being a Christian. That the benefits of being a child of God, they far outweigh a timeshare. They far outweigh a vacation. They far outweigh free plane tickets. There are so many benefits of being a child of God. Acts 2:38, the fact that our sins are forgiven and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 10, the fact that our name is written in the Lamb book of life, the fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The best thing a person can do is become a child of God. And on tonight, I want to talk to you about one of the reasons it is good to be a child of God is because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that third person of the Godhead, and how it is a beneficial thing to not only have your past forgiven, but to have God's Spirit indwelling in you. What Paul does in Romans chapter 8, he lets us know that whenever we have God's Holy Spirit, that we do not have to be a slave to our sinful nature. that we do not have to do what our old nature tries to get us to do. As a matter of fact, we are able to put to death our sinful nature. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. But not only does the Holy Spirit do that, the Holy Spirit also gives us our spiritual life. We have a connection with God, a connection with Christ. He's able to hear our prayers. He's able to strengthen us because of the Holy Spirit. But not just that. Just like how Christ was risen from the dead, and just like how we have spiritual life, the Holy Spirit will have a role in raising our mortal bodies from the dead when the Lord comes back. That is good news that makes you say amen. But also what the Holy Spirit does is something we don't talk about a lot. And it has blessed me personally. And on tonight, I hope it blesses you, because yes, the Holy Spirit will give us the strength to not to give in to our sinful desires. Yes, the Holy Spirit will give us a spiritual life, a spiritual connection with God. Yes, the Holy Spirit raises our mortal bodies when the Lord comes back. But the Holy Spirit also helps us as we grieve. Come with me to Matthew chapter 5. On tonight, Matthew chapter 5 will be our main thrust as we highlight the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, not only in the book of Romans, but also the Holy Spirit. We see his power in the book of Galatians chapter 5. And we also see an idea of what the Holy Spirit does when we look at Matthew chapter 5 and we connect it to John. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 3, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." In this text, which is known as the Beatitudes, as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us a portrait of what life looks like when you are a child of God. He shows us what happens when we allow ourselves to come up under the Lordship of Christ. He lets us know that my kingdom is different from the others. And he lets us know that blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That one of the things about being in Christ's kingdom is to realize that I am poor in spirit. That, Lord, I cannot save myself. I cannot fix myself. If I'm going to be saved, it's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If my life is going to be clean, it is because of the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." But then he says something paradoxical. He says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." How in the world am I blessed even though I'm mourning? That doesn't make sense. How in the world can Christ say I am blessed even though I am mourning? When he says those who are mourning, it is in the present tense, which means not those who have mourned and they are done, but those who are in mourning even as we speak. When we look at scripture, grief in scripture shows up in at least three ways. If you don't mind traveling with me across the Bible on tonight, I first invite your attention to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. In Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse number 4. Ezekiel chapter 9 and verse number 4. The scripture says, "And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sighed and cried over all the abominations that are done within. One of the things, when we look at Ezekiel, one of the things that we see in scripture that caused people to mourn is the sin that was in the world. Yes. In other words, sin, there are times that when we see the sin that takes place in the world, it breaks our heart how a man can be called a woman and a woman can be called a man, and how a person can supposedly change their sexual identity as if God made a mistake. Sometimes when we see the sins of our world, it breaks our heart. There is a disregard for God, even though there is evidence of God's presence. People act like God does not exist. God tells Ezekiel, put a mark on the foreheads of the people, of the men who were crying because of the abominations of the city. And so sometimes we grieve when we see the sin. Sometimes I know there is a grandmother, there is a parent in here that your child, your grandchild was raised in the Lord's church, but they turned their back on the church. They turned their back on God, and now they don't even believe in God. They don't read their Bible. I know there is some God-fearing parent in here that you brought your child to VBS, you brought your child to church, but time they became an adult, they begin to hang with the wrong crowd and they turn their back on the Lord. Sin in our life, in the life of our family, even in the world, breaks our heart. But not only does sin caused people to grieve in scripture. If you come with me to Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 3. In Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse number 3, Nehemiah, the scripture says, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. When Nehemiah hears the bad news of how God's people were doing, it broke his heart and it caused him to grieve. And sometimes when we hear how the Lord's church is doing, it breaks our heart. When we see that some churches have left New Testament pattern, it breaks our heart. Sometimes when we see just how bad the world is, the violence, drunk drivers, innocent people that get killed, it breaks our heart because we realize that it's not supposed to be like this. God's people, the wall should have never been broken down, but because of sin, Nebuchadnezzar broke the wall, the Babylonian, they tore down the wall, and Nehemiah is weeping because God's people, God's nation is in bad condition. And so sometimes we weep because of the sins of the world. Sometimes it's even our own sins, the bad decisions we may have made in life, and we've burned bridges and we've caused grief in the life of others, or the sins of our family members that have broken our hearts. Sometimes we grieve because we know that this world is not operating the way God wanted to, that the Lord's church is not operating the way God wanted to. And then last but not least, in Genesis 37, your fingers are probably tired right about now. Genesis 37, verse number 34. The Bible says, then Jacob, Genesis 37 and 34, the Bible says, then Jacob tore his clothes, put sackcloth on his waist, and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters arose to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I shall go down into the grave to my son in mourning. Thus his father wept for him. last thing I would say is that there are times we grieve because we miss a family member, loss of a loved one, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, a mother, a father, a close church friend. As we get ready to celebrate the 4th of July, you can remember them being there with you at the fireworks. You can remember them eating hot dogs with you. At Thanksgiving, the empty spot where they would sit. You remember the pie Grandma used to cook, Mom used to cook. And because they're no longer here, we're like Jacob. We mourn. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Not those who are finished mourning, but those who mourn. And the amazing part is, Jesus says, you're blessed. What you need to know about that word blessed, blessed is not a feeling. It is God saying that my approval rests upon you. That word blessed does not mean I feel happy. No, when Jesus says blessed, he is saying God approves of you. And because God approves of you, God is going to do something for you. Which lets us know that you can have a heavy heart but still feel blessed. Because I don't feel good, that doesn't mean I'm not blessed. Because I don't feel like smiling, that doesn't mean I'm not blessed. I'm blessed because Christ is going to do something for me, because he says, for they shall be comforted. And this reminds me that grief does not have an expiration date. There are times we tell people you should be over it by now, but you don't see Jesus saying that. Jesus says you're blessed even though you're currently mourning. While milk expires, while our driver's license expires, while certain documents may expire, there are times grief does not expire. But on tonight, Jesus says you're blessed because I'm going to do something for you. Yes, you're grieving, but you're blessed because you're going to see my power. Yes, you are hurting of the choices you made, of the family members you lost, on how bad the Lord's church is doing, how bad the world is doing. But Jesus says, congratulations, because I'm going to do something for you. What are you going to do for me, Jesus? He says, bless are those who are mourned, for they shall be comforted. That word comforted is the word console, encourage. That word comforted carries an idea of someone who comes, who he's gonna come alongside. Now, come here for a second. Come here, because I wanna, if you paid attention in school, you remember this. In school, they had something called a verb. A verb is an action, amen? A verb, I ran outside. Now, if you didn't pay attention in school like me because you were asleep, you probably had to take it over again. But a verb is an action. Jesus gives the verb, blessed are congratulations. God is gonna do something for those who are grieving. What is God gonna do? God shall comfort them. Now, we know that the ultimate comfort comes when the Lord comes back and he takes us home with him to heaven, where there is no more weeping, there is no more crying. We know that's gonna happen, but how does God comfort us today? Because yes, Lord, that sounds good. I'm glad you're coming back for me, and I'm glad there is peace on the other side, but Lord, my heart is in shambles today. When I think about my children, when I think about the Lord's church, when I think about some of the bad choices I've made, Lord, how am I comforted today? Because Jesus said they shall be comforted. I'm glad you asked. Matthew gives us the verb in the Gospel of John. before Jesus takes his taxi on the cloud back to heaven, Jesus tells his disciples of the Holy Spirit. Come with me to John chapter 14 and verse number 16. In John chapter 14, because Matthew lets us know what God will do. He's going to comfort us. In the Gospel of John, John lets us know the person who comforts us even before we make it to heaven. In John 14 and verse number 16, Jesus says that, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." Verse 26 of John chapter 14, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." When we think about the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, Jesus lets his disciples know that I'm going to pray to God, and God is going to give you another helper. In other words, somebody like me of the same kind. He's going to abide with you forever. And how the helper, who is the Holy Spirit, how he's going to teach them all things, and he's going to bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. So when we think about how the Lord comforts us even today, he comforts us through the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, not only does he teach us, but whenever our heart is heavy because of how the world is, the Holy Spirit has a way of reminding us that this world is not my home. Whenever our heart is heavy because our loved one has died, but they were in the Lord, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we don't grieve like others grieve who have no hope. Whenever our hearts are grieved because we see the false teaching that takes place, we are reminded that every plant that my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Whenever we are grieved because we see so many people turning to false teachings in Christianity, the Holy Spirit reminds us that narrow is the gate. Whenever we are grieved because we think we are there all alone, the Holy Spirit reminds us that I will never leave you nor forsake you. When we are at the funeral home planning the services, the Holy Spirit is there with us. When we are taking the chemo, the Holy Spirit is there with us. And he's not there just to say I'm there. He is there to console us, to encourage us, to let us know by reminding us of God's word, God is here with you. As I take my clothes, there is something I just found out about called glass blowing. And what glass blowing is I'm going to give you the Wikipedia quick version, is that when they heat glass so they can mold it into certain shapes. And as I was researching glass blowing goes back over 4,000 years. And one of the most important tools that a glass blower uses is wood. It's blocks of wood that are carved from cherry or apple wood are used to help shape the glass when it comes fresh out of the furnace when the glass is 2,000 degrees hot. Now, I want you to think about that, because wood normally burns at 500 degrees. But when this wood that the glass blower uses when it touches glass that is 2,000 degrees, it does not burn. Well, how in the world, if wood burns, oh, that's a piece of wood right here. I'm a visual learner. If a piece of wood normally burns at 500 degrees, how in the world is this wood not burning even though it's touching something that's 2,000 degrees? Well, the wood that's touching the glass that is very hot, since it's been cut from a tree, is immersed, is kept down in water. Every day, 24/7, is kept down. Not only is it kept down in water, but when it's transported to the glass blower's location, it's transported in water. The only time the wood comes out of the water is when it's touching the glass. And because the wood spends the majority of its duration in the water, whenever the glass gets close to the wood, steam comes out of the wood and it forms a protective barrier between the wood and the glass. In other words, because the steam comes out of the wood, because it's been submerged and kept in water, when it's close to something hot, the only thing happens is steam, but the wood never burns. That's an illustration that when our lives are immersed in the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and govern us, not just when we come together, but Monday through Sunday, 24/7, 365, 366 on a leap year, whenever our lives are led by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit works in us so that when the fires of life are close to us, we don't burn, we make it. And so, yes, I lost a loved one, but I'm still here with my hand in God's unchanging hand. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Yes, my heart is broken because of what's going on in my family, but I can still say God is good, and I can still come to service every time the doors open. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is my barrier. Yes, I feel the heat, but I don't burn. And on tonight, as I leave you, I would leave you by letting you know, stay connected to the Holy Spirit through prayer, through the reading of God's word, through following his lead. Because when you do that, God will use the Holy Spirit to work in your life to help comfort you when our hearts are broken. Let us pray at this time. Father, on tonight, we are so thankful. Thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for using the Holy Spirit to sanctify our lives so that we are better today than we were in the past. We thank you for his sanctification in our life, but we also thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit who helps comfort us, who helps console us, who helps teach us, and he helps remind us. So on tonight, Father, if there is any one of your children in here that are grieving, Father, we ask that you will show them in your own way that the Holy Spirit is comforting them day by day. We thank you for Jesus, his death on the cross, that makes all of this possible. It's in his name we pray. Amen.